So we're talking about the sugya of Shomei Ka'ona. The Gemara comes up, actually, it was in Daf Yomi a few days ago, the Gemara Maseches Sukkah, Daf Lamed Ches, proves that there's a principle called Shomei Ka'ona. And on the spot there, Rashi gives a fascinating example. Machlokes Rashtos is actually how it plays out. If a person's davening Shemar Esrei for a long time, he davens and davens and davens, and by the time the Chazan gets up to Chazaras Hashatz and even Kedusha, he's still davening and davening and davening. So Rashi says, what should one do? Rashi says, one should be, this is how we pass on halacha l'maisa, one should be quiet, one should listen, one should hear what the chazan is saying, listen to the chazan and be yotzei shomei ka'ona. This way, it's as if you said it, it's shomei ka'ona, you're yotzei kedusha, but don't speak, because if you'd speak, that would be, you have both worlds. You're quiet and you listen, but you don't speak this way, it's not a hefsek. If you'd speak, it'd be a hefsek. You can't do it, you'd be a hefsek in Moshe Masri. And if you wouldn't stop davening, you wouldn't be Yotzei Shomei Ka'ona. So Rashi comes up with a great pshara. This we can kill two birds with one stone. Tosfos in Masechet Sukkah, right there on the spot on Lamed Ches Amud Beis, paskins differently, or at least raises the possibility of paskin differently. So it says, maybe one should just continue davening silently all the way through. Why? Because what Rashi does is not really great. Tosfos has a kasha on Rashi. Tosfos says, doesn't really make much sense if a person davens, stops, and listens to Shomei Ka'ona, well then, they're mafsik anyway. Who cares if you don't talk? Even Shomei Ka'ona is going to be a hefsik. Therefore, Tosfos says, don't be mafsik, keep on davening silently. Unfortunately, you have to miss Kedusha. So machlok number one is halach l'maisa, what does one do? Does one sit there silently and listen, or does one continue davening themselves, you know, and not stop to listen to Kedusha? That's machlok, as Rashi tells us. Okay? What's behind that machlok? How would you be master that? Number two, Tosfos then brings a raya. What's the raya? The Gemara Maseches Brachos on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis says that anyone who is davening and davening and davening, I'm sorry, but Gemara says, if you walk in late and you're going to daven so long that you're going to miss Kedusha and Yesh Omrim, even Modim, you'll end up missing those. You won't have a chance to finish it. So you're going to end up missing it. It's those things are so important. Better you should do those than daven Tefillah Mitzibur. In other words, answering Kedusha is so important and Modim Derabbanan and Yesh Omrim is so important, we pass them that way, that better a person should miss Tefillah B'Tzibur, and therefore if you walk in 10 minutes late to Mincha and they're going to get to Chazar Hashatz quickly, you'll miss Kedusha. So listen to Kedusha and then daven afterwards. David means daven B'Yechidus. That's what Bracha says. So Tosfos says, you see from here that I'm right. The fact that you could miss Kedusha, and maybe you should miss it, the Gemara says you shouldn't. Better you should hear Kedusha than Tefillah. But the fact that theoretically you could miss Kedusha means I'm right in that Rashi, because according to Rashi, just daven. And when the Chazan gets up to Chazar Sashatz, stop, be quiet, sit there silently. You would never miss anything according to Rashi, because you could always just sit there quietly and Chah, Kedusha with Shomei Ka'ona. So that's Tosfos' kasha on Rashi. Apparently Rashi disagrees, and Tosfos even says maybe it can be Mechalik. And the chilek that Tosfos even raises in the Arish Achronim all suggests, even Mash, I think from Rashi as well, is that maybe there's a difference between Shomei Ka'ona versus actually saying it. In other words, Shomei Ka'ona certainly is the good and your Yotzei, but it's not the best way. It's only Bidiyeva. It's only tier two. Better a person should say it. Therefore, according to Rashi, what are you missing? Asks Tosfos. Rashi will answer, I'm missing saying it, even though I'm Yotzei with Shomei Ka'ona. And apparently, Tosfos didn't think of that distinction, didn't like that distinction, more likely. Tosfos didn't want to be Mechalik. Tosfos thought that was not it. He thought his Kasha was correct, and you would be missing something. And therefore, Lachar, there's two differences between Rashi and Tosfos. Difference number one is Lahalacha, what should you do if you're davening slowly and you don't get a chance to finish by the time the Chazan gets up to Chazar Sashas? And Halachic Machlokas number two is, could you make a distinction between saying Shmona Esrei versus hearing it? According to Tosfos, they're like one and the same, seemingly. According to Rashi, one's the Chadchila, one's B'diyev, and that's how he answers the Gemara Brachos on Daf Chaf Aleph, by saying you would miss something, you'd be missing saying it. So what's this Machlokas? So all the Achronim, everyone, says this Machlokas, Lachorah, boils down to a fundamental question about the nature of Shomei Ka'ona. When we say Shomei is Ke'ona, Is it literally halachic speech? In other words, just like when I am yotze by listening, so to am yotze by speaking, and they're tantamount to each other. There's no distinction. One and the same. When you listen to something, it's ki'ilu, you said it. Halacha has an abstract concept that the words, it's halachic speech. Or no, maybe that's not halachic speech. It's givaldic, it's helpful, it's good. You're yotze, but it's not the same thing. It's a tier two version. Maybe Tosfos accepts the former while Rashi accepts the latter. Tosfos will argue it is halachic speech. And therefore, if you stop and listen to do Kedusha, to Kedusha, of course that's a hefsik because when you're Yotze, it's as if you spoke. Shomea Kaona means literally Kaona. What's the difference between saying it out loud versus being Yotze? Asks Tosfos. And Rashi will say there's a big difference. One is a hefsik, one's not a hefsik. What speech is a hefsik? Fulfilling the mitzvah of Kedusha is not a hefsik. And therefore, that'd be that machlokas. And that's the same chakir could be used to explain the second machlokas as well. As according to Rashi, there is a difference between dibur versus shomea. Dibur is lechadchila, shomea is b'diavad. And therefore, if you walk in late to shul, you'll be missing the verbal component, the speech component, the dibur component. You may be yotzei the mitzvah of Kedusha, but not the same way. And that's worthwhile waiting and missing tefillah but dibur. Masha Enkin, according to Tosfos, who believes that there's really no distinction between them, Kedusha, saying something and hearing something are really one and the same, Tosfos is disinterested in making such a distinction. Good? This machlok plays out in many other examples. One time a Kohen went to the Beis Halevi and asked him, Rebbe, however you called him, I don't like duchening out loud. When it comes to Birkas Konim, I don't like saying the words. I don't like the way I sound. I don't like the way I talk. I don't want to duchen out loud. Can I just be Yotzei Shomei Ka'ona? Four other Kohanim will put up their hands and go, Yivarech Echa, and I'll just listen and be Yotzei. So basically, he says, no way, you can't do that. Because the Gemara Masechet Sota writes that it has to be done b'kol ram. Parenthetically, that's why, if you ever pay attention, when you do duchening, the chazim is always quieter than the Kohanim. Kohanim have to be louder than the chazim. Why? Because that's a din of kol ram. That's how you fulfill the mitzvah of kol ram. Kol ram means the Kohanim have to be heard. So you're not Yotzei louder than the Chaz, you're not loud at all, you're mamish silent, you can't hear a thing you're saying. So the Beis Halevi thought it was a bad idea, and he made the Kohen Duchen. The Chaz Nish writes up in his Chidushin, the Chaz Nish writes up, he thinks it's a mistake. The Chaz Nish says, no, you can be Yotzei Kol Ram with Shomei Ka'ona, and Lechora, the Chaz Nish, he spells it out, is that when this Duchen davens out loud, it's not just that I'm listening and it's good enough, it's that I actually, what he did carries on to me. It's like I halachically spoke, just like he halachically spoke. Everything he does is superimposed onto me. It's like I actually did what he did. I halachically spoke. It's not just that I heard it and I'm yotze, I halachically said something. Yeah. Either the Chaz Nish paskins like Tosfos over here, or it's going to make some type of distinction. But you're right. The Chaz Nish is using the same svara as Tosfos, whereas the Beis Halevi is using the same svara in Rashi. Either they would paskin that way throughout all the Shas, or you'd have to come up with some type of lambda saying, well, yeah, but no, you have to work something out. But fundamentally correct. Exactly. Good. There's an interesting practice when it comes to the 10 sons of Haman. The Gemara writes in the Maseches Megillah, in the beginning, Daf Heyish or so. I remember exactly where. That you're supposed to say them b'neshima achas in one fell swoop, in one fell breath, one breath. So there's different practices. Some people, just out of curiosity, raise your hand if everyone in your shul does it. Where the chazan stops and everyone does it. That's what we do here in yeshiva, in the shul in the Beit Daniel, where I grew up. Okay, raise your hand if only the chazan does it. Okay? Different practices. As a matter of fact, it's a big machlokis gedolei ha'achronim. The Chai Adam in Kuf Nun Hey Sifkat Nchaf Yimel writes, the Chazan can cover you. The Chazan does it for everyone. And the Ragachever in the Tzafnas Paneach on the Rambam, Chelak Aleph, in page 77 of the Hashmatos, says each person should do it themselves. And therefore, one may wonder what's behind this machlokas. Arguably, this machlokas depends upon the nature of Shomei Ka'ona. If you believe that when the Chazan does it in one breath, I'm just Yotze. Well, I'm Yotze the Megillah, but I never really said it myself in one breath. But if whatever the Chazan says, it's as if I said it, I kind of like step into the Chazan's shoes. It's halachic dibur, and it's his dibur that carries over for me. Well, then Lechor, if he did it out loud, I don't have to do it out loud because I don't have to physically do it out loud because halachically I did do it out loud, and it could be the Chayadim who says the Chazim Karvi would be more along the lines of the Chaznish and Tosfos, whereas the Ragachav would be more along the lines of the Beis Halevi, his Rebbe, and Rashi. Let's get one or two more examples out there. Is that okay? Maybe we'll do a few more. We'll see how much time we have. I want to get a few more, but I want to get to other Chakiras as well. Another one would be, let's just say, Kriyat Shema. There's a 2 days in Shulchan Aruch as to whether or not one should say Kriyat Shema aloud or quietly. So how should you say it? Baruch Shem Kivod, certainly you say it quietly. What about the first pasuk? So the Shulchan Aruch has two different opinions. So the Magen Avraham in the spot says, what's the reason to say it out loud? Kavanah, etc. That's the reason to say it aloud. The Magen Avraham says, what's the reason to say it quietly? The answer is because maybe if you're saying it out loud, someone will think I'm being motzi them. They're going to want to listen. If we all start saying it out loud, people will accidentally be motzi each other in Kriyat Shema, and you can't use Shomea Ka'ona for Kriyat Shema. It doesn't work. Each person has to say it themselves. Many other Mefarshim reiterate this. Famously, the Gra says it, but before the Gra, even the Ritva says it. But everyone quotes the Gra. Okay? How do they make the point? The Mishnah in Maseches Megillah and the Mishnah in Maseches Brachos are each a little different. The Mishnah starts off Maseches Megillah. It starts off Megillah Nikreis Be Yud Aleph Yud Beis Yud Gimel Yud Dalet V'Tezvav. Megillah Nikreis. The Megillah is written. Read, pardon me. But however, the first Mishnah in Brachos says what? Memasai Korim. It sounds like every person reads it. So the Gra wants to know, famously the Gra, but really beforehand the Ritva wants to know, why does one time it say Korin and one time it says Nikreis? Nikreis sounds like what? It was read once. Korin sounds like every guy reads it, says the Ritva, says the Magana, the Gra. That's not just by practice, that's the din. Because there is no Shomea Ka'ona for Kriyat Shema. Kriyat Shema is limited to many other mitzvahs, but not this. The Gra found the brachos on Daf Beis Min Aleph. Megillah found in the Ritva found in Megillah, Daf Beis Min Aleph. Regarding the Megillah, good. However, many disagree. The brachos is an achronish sefer on brachos. He's got a whole list of people who think this way and think that way. He's got a whole bunch of people who think no, it's the same as everything else. There's no distinction between Kriyat Shema versus other mitzvahs. Of course, Shomei HaKona works. So what's the idea? So one explanation given is that the pasuk says v'dibarta bam, that you have to say. There's a unique thing that has to be done for you saying it, or like maybe kabbalas malchut shamayim has to be done specifically by you. It's a mitzvah of doing kabbalah. You have to do it that way. You have to do it you yourself. So the question is, what does it mean you yourself doing it? So l'chora that may depend goof on the shayla of Shomei HaKona. If you say Kriyat Shema and I say Kriyat Shema, each person has to be makabal themselves. I get it because Shomei HaKona means I could be yotzei by hearing you, but here I have to actually say it, v'dibarta bam, I have to articulate it, I have to state it, I have to communicate it. However, if you believe that Shomei HaKona is halachic speech, well then what? L'chora, you said it and that counts for me. One more quick nafkamina of, there's a couple more. Like, again, I'm trying to think how much time I should spend on this. Not sure. Like if let's just say you make a brach and I say amen afterwards and your brach is a brach levatala, would my amen be a brach levatala? So again, that's machlok sekslach and the Magen Avraham. Probably boils down to the same shayla. There are many, many other examples of this type of chakir. If anyone's interested, Rav Asher Weiss has written up in his Minchas Asher on Chumash, I forgot what parsha it is, he's got like 35 nafkaminas to this chakir. Mamash, boom, 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 a whole bunch. Another Rabbi Ersky in the Sefer Hegyoni Halach has, this is a well-known chakira, and it boils down to Shomei Ka'ona, what does it mean, ke? Next. Good. Number one. Number two. There's a sugya called Shliach Shel Adam Kimosa. That when a person appoints a shliach, they themselves, the shliach can do things for me. So if I want to be Megarish a woman, or I want to be Mekadish a woman, or I want to be Mafresh Truma, all these type of things can be done via a shliach, because Shliach Shel Adam is Kimosa. It's Kimosa. Okay. This is an interesting machlokes between the Rambam and the Tur regarding a particular case of Gerishin. If let's just say the shliach, Yaakov wants to divorce his wife Leah. Anyone's interested, there's a Ramban on Chumash that actually says Yaakov wanted to divorce Leah. He liked Rachel more. It's So Yaakov wants to divorce Leah. So Yaakov appoints a shliach and says, shliach, take the get and give it to Leah. He gives the get, that's migurashes. That's certainly good. Okay, back up the vision. Additionally, there's a general rule that if a person is a shoter, or loses das, they're not a kikach, they don't have the mental capacity, the mental wherewithal to function properly, they're considered a shoter. They can't be a shliach, they can't be megarish, the wife, they can't do anything. So here's the shliach. Yaakov now takes a get, writes it, signs it in front of Edim, the whole deal, and gives it over to a shliach. The shliach now picks up the get and starts bringing it to the woman. However, while the shliach is in possession of the get, while he's in control of the get, Yaakov goes crazy, he has a mental breakdown, anxiety gets to him, I don't know what gets to him, and all of a sudden he's nishtate, he becomes a shota. Now, what would the din be? Would that be then, while Yaakov is already halachically still a shota, the shaliach delivers the get to the isha? Would that be a good gerushin or not? That's the shaila. Interesting shaila. That's the shaila. So that's the machlokes between the Rambam and the Tur, whether or not that's no good midaraisa or no good midrabbanan. And according to the Rambam, the Rambam uses the term pasul in Hilchas Gershon Perek Beis Halacha Tezvav, which earlier on he tells you anytime he uses the word pasul, I mean it's pasul midrabbanan, but minatorah it's okay. If he ever wants to tell you it's not okay minatorah, he says eno get. He tells you that's like code for understanding what I mean all the way through this. But I don't have to tell you every time daraisa midrabbanan. So the Rambam uses the word pasul, which sounds like min hatorah, it would be a kosher get, and the rabbanan were machmir, you could understand why or whatever. The Tur thinks it's completely worthless. The Tur is found in Simin Kuf Chaf Aleph in Eben Ezer. And the Tur says, no, this is not even good midaraisa. So the Shaila boils down to, is it pasul midrabbanan or midaraisa, which is really, is this a good get daraisa or midrabbanan? The Rambam seems to say it's kosher midaraisa, the Tur would say it's no good midrabbanan. So it's fine, this machlokas. So many biachronim. The Ketzos says this, the Or Sameach, right there in Gerishin Perek Beis Halacha Tezvav, both explain that what's behind this machlokas? What is the nature of a shliach exactly? Is a shliach literally me or just doing a job for me? In other words, is the shliach like my third hand? I have a right hand, I have a left hand, and I have a yad shlishi. It's I'm doing the gerushin, I'm divorcing my wife, I'm marrying my wife, I'm being mafresh truma. But the shliach is the one that physically does the action, but halachically I'm doing the action. He's my third hand. Or, alternatively, it's more like a koach that I give him. I give him koach hamagarish, and he does it. I give him koach hamakadish, and he does it. What do they call it? What's it called? There's an English expression. I'm blanking now. What's it called? When your grandparents get old and your parents can sign checks for them. Your grandparents are all young. It's called power of attorney. There's a thing called power of attorney, which basically means when my grandmother got old, she couldn't sign checks, she couldn't do it, so she gave it to my mother, started doing all the writing checks and doing everything before she could sign it. So power of attorney, basically the Baal, in this case Yaakov, is giving over to the shliach, the koach to megarish. Who's really megarish to Isha? The shliach. But since he has that koach, the get in his hand, and since there's a minoy shlichus, that minoy shlichus gives him a koach to do it himself. Lamayin nafka mino. Well, once Yaakov is nishtata, according to the first approach, that really the shliach is just the yad shlishi, but the baal Yaakov is doing the gerushin himself. For sure, the gerushin's no good because he's a shota. He can't divorce his wife, and he's a shota. That for sure would not work. However, argues the Or Sameach in the Ketzos. However, if you disagree and you say that the way shlichus works is that I give you a koach. It's not I give you a koach to do something. I'm giving you a power of attorney. I'm giving you a koach hamagarish, a koach hamakadish, a koach lafish truma, a koach to do whatever you're doing. Once I give you that koach, even if I become a shota, you now have that koach. And therefore, l'chora, that's his famous chakira about how shlichus works. Is it that when we say shliach shalom kimoso, is it really mamish me doing it? Just with your body. I have a right hand, I have a left hand, and the shliach is my third hand. The shliach is Yaakov's third hand in divorcing Leah. Or no, it's not really kimos. The shliach does it himself. It just works for the Baal. He's not literally the Baal. He just works for the Baal, and therefore, it would work. Lechora, here'd be a great nafkamina to this shaila. Another potential nafkamina would be, or another potential application of this chakira, I'll just use a chakira a second time, would be a discussion that Rishonim have. The Tosfos Rid, in the second parak of Kedushin, wants to know, where do you and don't you say shlichas? Lechora, once I know there's a principle of shliach, so give out, like, just lay in bed. You'll put on tefillin for me. You'll put on tzitzis for me. You'll blow shofar for me. You'll go to shul and sit in a sukkah for me. You'll sit in a sukkah for me. I'll just lay in bed. So the Tosfos Rid says, no, it doesn't work that way. You can't do that. Why not? Remember? Oh, you're nodding like you knew. You do know the Tosfos Rid. Tosfos Rid says, shlichas doesn't work on a mitzvah shev, a mitzvah sagof. In other words, the mitzvah is I have to put tefillin on my body. There is no shlichas. I have to wear tzitzis on my body. My ears have to hear shofar. My mouth has to eat matzah. Whatever the mitzvah is, I have to do it myself. Mitzvahs haguf have no shlichas. And therefore, there's no shlichas for Megillah reading, for shofar, for all these mitzvahs. It's totally meaningless. That's the sheet of Tosfos Rid. Interestingly, the Ketzos himself in Hilchas Shlichas, Kuf, Pei, Beis, Sifkat, and Aleph disagrees. The Ketzos has two kashas on Tosfos Rid, which I'll mention briefly, and then I'll share with you his alternate opinion. How are we doing? So far, so good? For those who are walked in late or whatever? Yeah, okay. There's a pasuk that teaches me, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. There's a principle called Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. If I would say, Eli, do me a favor, go rob Reuven, and he robs Reuven, that's his own fault. He's Chayiv, I'm not Chayiv. If I would say, go smack Reuven in the face, cut off his arms, so you'd be a mazik. You shouldn't have listened to me. The Gemara even says, Divrei HaRav, Divrei HaTalmid, who are you going to listen to? Divrei Mishomim, you're going to listen to your Rebbe over HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate Rebbe. This is you know, whoever's telling you, the Mishaleach is just the Talmid. You should listen to God. And there's a special Gzeres HaKasev teaching me this principle, implying, says the Ketzos, that if there would be no Gzeres HaKasev, then what? Lechora, there'd be a principle called Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Avera. The only reason why there's Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera is because the Pasuk taught me that. But without that Pasuk, Lechora, I would have concluded Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Avera, that a Shliach can do all sorts of Averas. Even Avera Shebeguf. For example, if you punch someone, cut off their arms, you know, steal from someone, etc., all sorts of other Averas that you would do. So if it's true that there are averos shebaguf, l'chora, there should be mitzvah shebaguf as well. Shlicha should work for averos and mitzvahs the same way, and therefore, just like there's averos shebaguf, the shlichas for it, so too, there's a shlichas for a mitzvah shebaguf, there should be no distinction over here. Everything should work the same way. So claims the Ketzos. Then he has a second raya. There's one of the most shocking shitas in all of Shas, is Shammai Hazakin in the second parak of Kedushin. Anyone remember the shita? Shammai Hazak, what? No, that's not a bad thing. That's based Shammai in Ksuva Staf Yigimel. This is even more shocking. Shammai Hazakain writes that we say Ein Shliach Dvar for most Averis, but there's an exception to the rule. Ritzicha. If I tell you to kill someone and you listen, it's not your fault. There we say Yesh Shliach Dvar Avera. Like, go figure. Like, where'd that come from? What's the svar for that? I'm not entering into that. Very difficult to swallow, difficult to palate, difficult to cheat. Anyway, but that's what in the second paragraph, maybe Mem Gimel or so, Mem Beis in the second tradition, Shammai Hazakin says, if you kill, then there's a din of Yesh Shliach Dvar Avera. So he says, you see from Shammai again that when it comes to Averos, there is shlichas when it comes to Averos Shebaguf. And Lechora, he says, the same would be true at mitzvahs as well. Therefore, the Ketzos says, don't tell me that there's no shlichas on guf-oriented things like mitzvahs aguf, because if there are by averis aguf, it just brought you two rayas that there are, at least in principle. So, lechor, there should be shlichas even on a mitzvah like tefillin, or a mitzvah like tzitzis, or a mitzvah shebaguf. Azei frek the Ketzos. That's the Ketzos' kasha on the Tosfos Rid. However, the Tosfos Rid, good. However, the Ketzos has a different shot. Then why then can I not put on tefillin for you and just you'll stay in bed? Says the Ketzos, if I would ask you to wrap up tefillin, there would be shlichas. It just would be unhelpful shlichas. In other words, the kasha really had two assumptions. A, can't you do shlichas, and B, it would help. Says the Tosfos Rid, there's no shlichas. says the Ketzos, there is shlichus, it's just unhelpful. Doesn't work. Why not? Says the Ketzos, if I start wrapping up tefillin on my arm, I'm actually doing two things. A, the action of wrapping, and B, the mitzvah of wearing tefillin. If I would say, let's just say, Avi Tepler, Avi, could you do me a favor and wrap up tefillin to, I don't feel like getting out of bed this morning. Could you please just wrap up tefillin for me? And he would say, yes, there, according to Tosfos, nothing occurs. According to the Ketzos, there is shlichus. You are halachically wrapping it for me, and it's kilu, I'm wrapping it, it's just I'm wrapping it on Avi Tepler's arm. So I make it some schar for like helping him put on tefillin. It's like if you go to a hospital and you put a tefillin on an old man, you know. So if I ask Avi to put on tefillin, I may get some schar for that, but there's no maisa mitzvah of tefillin. That's a difference in perspective between the Tosfos Rid and the Ketzos. According to the Tosfos Rid, there's no mitzvah shabukuf. According to the Ketzos, there is shlichus. It's just unhelpful over here. It's as if I did the maisa of wrapping up, but I didn't do the mitzvah of putting on tefillin. So what's the explanation? How would you be mad with this machlokas, the Ketzos versus the Tosfos Rid? So I'd like to suggest, at least maybe, according to Tosfos Rid, shlichus is giving someone a power to be makadish and be magarish. It's a power of attorney. I'm giving you a koach hamakadish, koach hamagarish, and I can't give you koach hamitzvahs, because mitzvahs shebeguf is the place where we restrict that koach. I give you the koach to do all sorts of things. I don't give you the koach to do mitzvahs. However, the Ketzos seems to use the other svar. He believes that there can be shlichus. There's always shlichus. It's just restricted to the action. It's restricted to the maisa. The shaliach was a shaliach and wrapped up the tefillin just in someone else's body. That sounds like the Yad Shlishi thing, which means I can give you a koach to do an action. I could allow you, you could wrap up my tefillin and you're actually doing it. There is shlichus over here. That's just unhelpful for the tefillin, because here, the, you know, you're doing the action for me. It's just not doing the mitzvah for me. And it could be, maybe this machlokas, the Tosfos Rid versus the Ketzos, is gufa our shaila. It's interesting that the Ketzos earlier on raised both possibilities and here seems to take a side. I'm not sure what to do with that just yet. Maybe it's Akasha. Maybe it means something I said is wrong. Maybe he's there. He thought of both svaras, but he passed them like one. I'm not trying to get out of that. But in any event, that would be another example of Shleach Shaladim Kimoso. One more quick example. Joshua, you good? Chaim, how are you doing that day? Yeah? Okay. Next case is the case of Rubo Kikulo. And again, that cuff is going to be a central question. Let's say you have a taroves. It means like there's a big mixture. We're talking about Yavish B'Yavish. You have three hamburgers over here. Two are McDovitz, and one is McDonald's. Two are Yeshiva hamburgers, and one is Echves. You know, our cousins from the Shuk across the street. You have two out of three are kosher, but you can't tell because they all look the same. They're mamish. Again, if it's Nick, you can, you know. If one has a McDonald's wrapper on it and it's got cheese, you know what I'm saying, and the other one's, you know, big, oh, you, that's not, Tarovis, you can't tell the difference. You know, different pieces of meat you can, you totally look. So three pieces of meat get mixed up. So the din is, you know, even though two are kosher, once now we see Rubo Kikulo. So halach lemaisa, what could you do? So there's a few shitas that we've shown him. The Rush writes that all pieces of can be eaten and even eaten by one person at one time. I could eat all three because at the end of the day we say it's batel barov and rubos kikulo. I could eat all three. Makes sense. Other Rishonim, for example, the Rashba writes all three people can eat them. Pardon me, one person can eat all three, but not at the same time. I could eat two now and one later on. The third shita is that of shitas of Tosfos. All pieces can be eaten, but not by one person. And the last shita is Tosfos Rid. Only two of the three can be eaten. You don't throw them all out because it's batel, but you can't eat all three. So the question is, what's behind this machlokas? What's the svar for each of them? So l'chora, the svar for the Rasha, the first shita is the easiest. At the end of the day, the iser is ne'epach liot heter. Rubo is mamish, ki, kula, 100%. We view this as all three are totally kosher. I can eat one, I can eat the second, I can eat the third, I can eat them all right now. It's 100% kosher. However, according to the opposite sheet, let's work with the other extreme before we get to the middles, Tosfos Rid will say, it's true, it's batel, but it's not fully edible for everyone. We don't want, you know, it's rubo kikulo. It's similar insofar as you can eat one, you can maybe even have a second, but you can't really eat all three. Rubo kikulo doesn't mean it's mamish kulo heter. It's just permissible to eat some of it. And the explanation you could understand is because, you know, we don't want to allow for 100% certainty there's navera. We could allow for rove, but not to the point where there's 100% certainty someone will violate an isra. After the kach, we don't want to go. That's too far. And again, the Rashba and Tosis, which are like the two middle sheets, they're going to have some type of similar line along those regions as well. It's true, rubo is kikulo fundamentally, but we'll scale back a little bit from that kulo because we don't want, you know, we don't want, you know, there's some type of chumra derabanan that you shouldn't be mitzdarif from all together with one person or one time, etc., etc. All sorts of chumras that say, even though fundamentally rubo is kikulo, we'll kind of curtail, we'll kind of scale back a little bit, minimize that, the power of that chiddush. But at the end of the day, here's like a great shayla of rubo kikulo, is it mamish kol or not? Questions? One, two.
This is against the whole idea that people say that if there was a little piece of, if there was a little drop of poison in your food, would you eat that or drink that? So you were saying that, yeah, you would.
Nice
astronomical idea about like
or, really, 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 the answer would be, it's no longer poison once halacha tells you it's not. Exactly how that happens in terms of the muscle and the poison, I don't know. But the answer is, iser is poison, don't eat it. But once halacha paskins its mutter, you're fine.
Just a clarification on the case. Is it 3/3 of
the meat cooked together, or is it just you're still? Let's keep it simple. Let's say you cook 3 separate burgers independently, and then you put them all together on a plate. You know, you serve it, and you don't know which one, you know.
That would apply, like, to any posture itself, like milk and meat. Like, let's say you certain that this was cooked, like, maybe you had
a... If you have 3 hamburgers, and one was cooked on a treif grill, and 2 cooked on a kosher grill, that would probably be the same thing. I don't want to overdo the halachas of rov. In other words, if it becomes a liquid, then you have, like, it's no longer 2-1, it's now 60-1. And there's a din of called the parash, ruba parash, and called kibbuk, and mechzal, mechzadami. There's, like, all sorts of greater halachas of when you do say rov and don't say rov, but in principle the answer is yes, but like I'm not going to go through all the hilchos tarovos right now in the next minute and a half I have before I do chazara. One last example. There's an interesting machlokas between 2 days in the Beis Yosef that are found also the halacha. The Shulchan Aruch writes that if a person wants to think Torah in the morning before they wake up. A person wants to think Torah before they wake up. In the morning, they're allowed to. Not allowed to write Torah, you're not allowed to talk Torah, but just thinking it's okay. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. That happens to me often. I like to wake up a little early, I like to press snooze a few times, sometimes I think about shir in the morning. I haven't thought about it recently, but like I'm less prepared for shir. Think about it a little more. When I wake up, the first thing I start doing is, how am I going to say it? Okay. The Gra says that's a big mistake. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Gra right there in Siman Mem Zayin. I think it's the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Mem Zayin, Halacha Dalet, and the Gra's on the spot right over there. The Mishnah Berurah quotes it. And he says, no, it's totally Asher. What's the difference, says the Gra? After all, here who is? Kedibur Dami. So that's a big question. How does the Shulchan Aruch defend himself? And there's what to be said. I'm not going to go through the whole sugya right now, but what's the most simple explanation? Maybe Yehur is not mamish kedibur, it's just similar in a certain sense. It's not fully 100% tantamount in the same, and therefore you don't need to make the bracha, because you only have to make the bracha on dibur. Yehur is kedibur in some other areas, whatever areas they are. Maybe I'm yotzei the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but I don't need a bracha. Maybe whatever the similarities are. That's one explanation offered in terms of Smachlok, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Gra, as to understand what's behind this machlok, is he or could he, you know, can you think or not think Torah beforehand? There's other explanations. There's a lot more to be said about everything, but not if we want to use the time we had for the time we did. Not if we want to stop to get a chazara going. So with that, we'll take a quick 20-second break and move into chazara momentarily.